Last month, on one of the weekends I was away from the parish, I took a group of Notre Dame prep students to Puerto Peñasco, Mexico, to build homes for those in need. And on these mission trips, it's a common practice in the evenings to gather around the students at the campsite to celebrate Mass outdoors. And the Mass consists of a simple altar made up of a fold-up table, candles, crucifix, and my grandmother's altar cloth, all within the backdrop of the Mexican desert. And it's during these moments that the sublime reality hits me, because only 100 years ago, during the Cristero War, in the very country I was at, many Catholics and Catholic clergy shed their blood for the very event I was celebrating with my students, the Eucharist, the Mass. The Mexican government heavily persecuted Catholics, destroyed churches or closed them down, such that many priests who weren't killed or exiled celebrated secret masses in a similar fashion as I was doing right then, hidden in the small houses of faithful believers. It is then that I recalled one of the most poignant and moving scenes of my favorite movie about the Cristero War, For Greater Glory, when Father Christopher, an elderly and aging priest in a small rural town, is seen sitting in the pews in the church praying the rosary. And his serene and peaceful atmosphere is broken immediately by the pounding footsteps of a young teenager, an altar boy who bursts through the back doors of the church and breathlessly warns Father Christopher, "Run! The soldiers are coming to arrest you and ransack the church." Going towards the tabernacle and removing the leftover hosts and placing the ciborium in the hands of the young boy, Father Christopher says to take Jesus from him and away from the church. But before running away, the boy turns and says, "Father, where are you going to hide?" Father Christopher responds, "Hide? Am I able to hide from God? Who am I if I don't stand up for what I believe in?" We encounter a similar situation in the first reading today, right? A mother with 7 sons is threatened with death for not giving in to the wishes of the king to eat pork, which was forbidden under Jewish law. And at first, to us, we may think, well, it's just pork. You know, I like bacon, right? But the king, right, thought that if the Jewish people were to break or compromise their laws, this would be the first step into making them change their beliefs and end up worshiping a pagan god. And it's still the method that's used for us today, for people who try to get us away from the religion. If I can get those Catholics just to compromise a little bit, take away this, take away that, get them to say, "No, I don't really believe in this," little by little, then they will be ended up worshiping somebody else altogether. And so, however, despite being arrested and tortured, one of the sons says, "We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." And another son says, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men with the hope God gives of being raised up by him." But what made the martyrs in church history, and even those described in the first reading, not run and hide and accept such sufferings? I believe it's because their end vision or sight was attuned not just to this life, but more importantly, in the life to come. They couldn't keep silent for what they knew to be true, even if that meant persecution. And it was the thought of the resurrection which gave them the strength to stand up, defend God, and give witness to the truth, even when everyone around them asked them to remain silent or to compromise. So the question is for us today in the pews: how much and what are we willing to undergo for Jesus and the faith? Do we have what it takes to suffer for our Lord, like the example of the martyrs? Or do we become too overly concerned about attaining earthly comfort, having the convenience of our schedule not messed up by God, or the emphasis of attaining more and more, such that it clouds our ability to see the end goal. When we have a supernatural outlook, however, it changes how we act now because we realize that this world is not all that it is. A rich tourist visited a well-known wise man, and when he entered his house, he was surprised to find it almost empty except for a table, a chair, and a bed. And so he goes, "Where's your furniture?" "Where is yours?" replied the wise man. And the tourist was puzzled because he says, "What do you mean? I cannot be carrying my furniture with me. I'm a tourist. I'm just passing through." And the wise man said, "So am I." Many of us get so caught up on the here and now that we forget that we too are only passing through this life. We worry on what I have to do or what I don't have. And it's not just in material things. Sometimes it's looking, I've given this example before. Sometimes we compare, like the highlight reel on Instagram, and we're like, "Man, I don't have that of my friends." Or, "They're having such a good time and I'm not." And sometimes we think, "Well, why am I not liked by certain people? Maybe I shouldn't say this or do this," especially when it comes to God, inconvenience them. And sometimes we spend on all these different things instead of going to mass, prayer, volunteering our time to help others, or spending time with sick or older family members or friends who may be lonely. I remember when I was in public high school, I remember freshman year being so self-conscious to pray grace publicly at first, wondering if the other people around me, what they might think. But it was such a small gesture, but one that can clearly preach without preaching who we are and who we belong to. But if we remember that this life is not all that is, there is a future life to come, how would that change things? You see, the witness of Father Christopher must have made an impact on that altar boy that day, because years later, he too was caught by the Mexican government and was about to be led to his execution. But before that, they called his aunt to bring him his last meal. And hidden in the food package was a consecrated host so that he would be able to receive Holy Communion his last time. Strengthened by the Eucharist, the boy was asked what he wanted to tell his parents for his last words. And at 16 years old, he told his aunt, "Tell them, we will see each other in heaven. Take care especially of my mother, and tell her not to rush to see me or my body, as I will have already won heaven." Throughout his long stretch of walking barefoot to his execution, and despite the beatings and torture along the way, he told the soldiers, "You have done a lot to me, but God still allows me to continue. But even when I cannot speak, if I but wiggle my toes, that will be a sign that I'm praising God. Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King and the Virgin Guadalupe." Jose Sancho del Rio, the name of the boy who originally burst through that church, was canonized a saint a couple of years ago. So today, when you feel the struggle of following God or witnessing to him, of keeping his laws, when external or internal pressures try to take you away, remember the resurrection. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And faith in the resurrection will give us hope to bear the pains, disappointments, hurts, and sufferings of this life. And it will give us the peace that Father Christopher had when about to be attacked, to stand by bravely and say, "Who am I if I do not stand up for what I believe?" For faith in the resurrection in the end opens our eyes to see the entire vision and plan of our loving God, who promises us not death, but the joy of everlasting life.